Please take your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. As we go closer, deeper, and higher in this year of 2018, one area of which we need much growth and encouragement in is the area of prayer. Prayer. Prayer is so simple and yet so vital. So simple and yet so vital. Let's read Matthew 6, beginning with verse 5. The Lord Jesus is teaching in what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And we're just picking up in the middle of some of what he's saying. Matthew 6, verse 5. He addresses the matter of prayer, and he says this. He says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye." And so the Lord Jesus goes on to give an example prayer. And it is simple, really. The model prayer is a very simple but important prayer example. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to grow in this area of prayer, in the simplicity of it. Help us to keep it simple and not to make it more complex than you have made it. But Lord, I pray that you'd also help us to recognize the vitality of it, that without prayer, we cannot see your will accomplished. Without prayer, we will miss out on even good things you want to do in our lives. And help us to understand the critical role it plays in daily life and in the success of the Christian life and of our work and testimony of your work. Lord, we thank you for this. I pray your blessing on this service. We recognize that we are frail. We recognize that we are not sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of Christ. And he is the one who has made us and makes us able ministers of the New Testament. Lord, I thank you for that. We rest in you. We look for you to speak and challenge our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. The simplicity and vitality of prayer. We notice that a lot of people pray. A lot of people pray. Even the Lord Jesus says the hypocrites pray. These are people who are insincere in their religion. They are hypocritical, very pious looking, but far from the Lord. We see that they pray. God also mentions here in verse 7 that the heathen pray. The heathen pray. But God calls us to a different kind of communication, a different kind of communion, a communion that is genuine and that is real. And so this morning we'll look at three aspects of this wonderful, very important topic of prayer. All right, so the simplicity and vitality of prayer. Prayer is, number one, personal communion. Personal communion. Please notice verse 5. He says, "But when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." How do the hypocrites pray? They pray to be seen of men. They pray so that people will go, ooh, wow, look at that great man. Look at that. Wow, look how he prays. Look at the wonderful depth of words he uses. And the hypocrite prays to be heard of the people around him. He wants to be heard and seen by the people he's praying in front of. But God says, I don't want you to pray like that. God says prayer is something that is intimate. It's something that is personal. Personal communion. And so I'll read the scripture now, verse 5 and 6. It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues. That's in the assembly, in the auditorium, in the sanctuary. They like to pray in public, in the synagogues, and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, truly, I say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, their reward is the applause of men. They got it. They've received their reward. But verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You see, God says prayer is personal communion. The word communion, as I looked it up, means, of course, there's multiple definitions or aspects of its definition, but here's one that readily came up. Communion, the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings. Communion, the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings. And that's what prayer is. It's the sharing and exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings with God. Certainly, it's more than just that, but we get the idea here. Personal communion. This is me and God. Prayer isn't intended to be a showy thing, to be seen. It's something that is, first and foremost, private communication with God. It is personal. And truly, now, God's not against public prayer. We prayed here several times this morning already, and that's important. His house, the house of the Lord, is to be called a house of prayer. It's important. God is not saying we shouldn't pray in public or that we shouldn't pray in the restaurant over our food or that because somebody will see us. He's not saying that we shouldn't pray in public or that we shouldn't pray on the street corner or that we shouldn't pray in the synagogue. That's not what he's saying particularly, but we should not be praying to be seen of men. And the truth is that if our prayer life in private is not what it should be, our prayer life in public won't be pleasing to God. The public prayer life has its reward. There's immediate gratification of others thinking well of you. But if we are praying for that purpose, God is not pleased. Because he says, don't pray to be seen of men. And so that is clear. Prayer is personal communion, first and foremost. Private vitality must come before public reality. Private vitality must precede public reality. If we aren't something alone with God, we won't be anything pleasing to God in public. God is not looking for a put-on. He's looking for real communion with us. And through prayer, this is possible. Isn't that exciting? We have this promise. God says you don't need the accolades of men. He says, you get alone with me in your closet, and the reality that you are walking with me, the reality of the sweetness of a relationship with me will be evident. God says, I will work, I will answer. The hand of God will be evident in your life. And so that's what he says here in verse 6. Go into your closet. This is a private place. And even he says further, to shut the door. So we know that he's emphasizing the privacy of prayer, that it is something very intimate with God, not something to be seen of men in its purpose. Its purpose is personal communion. Private prayer must be the start. Public prayer is important and should have a rightful place in our services, in our lives, but the public prayer won't be honoring or effective either without the personal, private, intimate prayer life. And so think about this on this first point. Prayer brings us face to face with the living God. A personal audience with God. This is what prayer is intended to be first and foremost. That we can have communion with our Father. That's special. That is sweet. So as we think about prayer, how simple it is, how vital it is personal communion with God. Secondly, I want you to see that it's practical communication. It is practical communication. Please notice verse 7. It says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions or empty words, empty phrases. You know, sometimes it is common for people to have specific memorized prayers that they've learned or that they've been taught, and they just rattle them off, and there's very little going on in their with God. There's in fact nothing going on many times with God. They're rattling off memorized phrases, and we need to guard against that even in our lives. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's dangerous for us to get into a state of a neutral brain and a neutral heart when we are praying, and so that our prayer is not real communication with the Lord, where we are not speaking from our heart, nor are we listening. So prayer is practical communication. Communication is a two-way street, and that's why it's important for us to listen in prayer. God often guides and directs through not only the reading and studying and meditating on the scriptures, but also through prayer. He impresses things on us through verses perhaps we've just read. As we pray over an issue and walk through it and talk about it with God. I mean, can it get more simple than this in prayer, that we're talking with God about things? We're talking with God about life, about us, about others, about needs, about burdens, about fears, about whatever. We're talking with God. It is simple, but yet so vital. Imagine a servant who has little to no communication with his master. That's not good. The servant is not going to know what the master wants. The servant is not going to do the jobs as the master requires them. And so it's important for that servant to set time aside and to make it a priority to have communication with his master. that he would talk about what's going on, that he would listen as well to the master's direction. And so it is practical. Prayer is not pointless talking to someone we can't see. Yes, we cannot see God. Our eyes cannot see him, even though the Lord says that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst of them. He is here. The Lord is here. This morning, he is here. He is present in this sanctuary. That's an awesome thought. And yet, prayer is real communication with the real living God. It is practical. Prayer needs to be from our heart. He says, not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Prayer doesn't have to be a long oration necessarily. Prayer doesn't have to be flowery language. Prayer should be reverent. Prayer should be yielded to the Lord. But prayer is very practical. It's on a practical level of seeking God, of saying, God, this is my concern. God, this is what's going through my life, my heart. This is the problem I have. Lord, this is the adoration I have for you. Prayer is practical communication with God. And so we saw, first of all, prayer is personal communion. Prayer brings us face to face with the living God. But secondly, prayer is practical communication. Prayer brings us face to face with our real needs. Prayer brings us face to face with our real needs. Notice a very striking verse here, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, now notice verse 8. For your Father knoweth what things ye need of him before ye ask him. Can I ask you, has anybody ever prayed and God learned something new? No, because God knows it all. God knows my needs better than I know them. But prayer is an important communication with God. Prayer is not for God to learn my needs, but for me to learn my needs. And for me as a human being, prone to depend on myself, prone to worry, for me to find a place of refuge in God. For me to talk through my need with God. For me to talk it over. God already knows my need. You know, you think of a parent-child situation. Sometimes a parent will really have a pretty good... Now, parents aren't like God, who absolutely know in ins and outs of everything. But many times, parents have a pretty good grasp of what their child is going through. But you know what? It's important for there to be that sit down and talk about it, right? And it's important for that child to know that their father heard them out. And it's important for that child to be able to verbalize the concerns and fears. It helps them just to talk through it, to be able to think through it. And so prayer is not to inform God of anything, but prayer is an important faith builder in our lives, that we talk to God and that we depend on God, because the Christian life is intended to be, it only works by faith in God. And so that's why it's so important that we commune with God, that we have communication with God on a basic, practical, simple level, so that we are actively relaying our need to him, so that we are trusting him with that need and we're giving it to God, that we're casting our burden upon the Lord, that we are lifting our voice to glorify and praise his name. That is vital in the Christian walk. And so we see the simplicity and vitality of prayer. Personal communion, prayer brings us face to face with the living God. Practical communication, prayer brings us face to face with our real needs. And thirdly, prayer is productive accomplishment. Prayer is productive accomplishment. Notice verse 8. I already mentioned this a little bit. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. But now notice verse 6. It says, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall, last part of the verse, shall reward thee openly. You see, even though God knows our needs, there is a direct connection between the need being met and us praying about the need. God has chosen to meet needs through prayer. In other words, there are needs that will go unmet if we don't pray. You see, prayer is a verbalizing of faith. Prayer is a verbalizing of faith. You show me somebody who doesn't pray, and I'll show you someone who has no faith. I don't know whether it's possible to have faith without prayer. I have to think through that one a little more, but obviously part of faith is casting ourselves on God, is opening up to God, is laying our burden upon God, is seeking God, knocking on his door, talking with him about these needs, these burdens. And so if we aren't coming, if we aren't knocking, if we aren't asking, we aren't trusting. Just like you can't be saved without communication with God and saying, yes, Lord. Yeah, you see, prayer can be so simple. It doesn't have to be, you don't, in order to be saved, it doesn't have to be a big, big, long monologue of prayer. Simple. I think of the prayer of the man, the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That man recognized his sinful condition, and he asked the Lord to save him. And so prayer is simple, but very vital. And so it is productive accomplishment. God says in verse 6 that he will reward us openly. You see, there's a reward for prayer. There's a reward. There's something accomplished when people pray. When God's children pray. Something accomplished in us. And something accomplished through us. Prayer brings us face to face with a profitable exercise of faith. That is dependence upon God. Please notice Matthew chapter 9. Forward just a little bit, Matthew 9. Notice verse 1. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 1. Talking about Jesus. And it says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Here's someone who had a need, and they came and were brought to Jesus. And it changed things for this man. You see, prayer is coming to Jesus. It's approaching God. We don't even always have to verbalize. That is in with words of our mouth. That's why prayer can even be thoughts. We can think prayer. When we're directing our heart to the Lord, when we're seeking God from our soul, we may be in a difficult situation and not even appropriate for us to speak words, maybe in conversation with someone. And we say, Lord, in our heart, Lord, give me wisdom. There's a communication there, and that's what prayer is. A communication there where we are seeking God and saying, God, help me, Lord, I need you. There's dependence. Faith. It is productive. This man was healed because of faith, because they came to the Lord. Notice also verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. All right, there. Now Jesus was there in the flesh. He was visible to them, and they were calling out to him. But that is what we do in prayer, call out to God, seek God. Verse 28, and when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According, verse 29, according to your faith, be it unto you. If in a Christian's life there's little prayer, I'll tell you, there's little accomplishment. But where there's much prayer, that is God-honoring, not just much words, much speaking, that's not what we're talking about, but where there's much communication, where there's right and good and God-honoring communication, not for the praise of men, not for the to be seen of men, but intimate communication with our Father, there's much productivity. There's much accomplishment. And Jesus said to these blind men, he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, verse 30. And their eyes were opened. You see, prayer makes the difference. It's so easy to neglect prayer. So easy. Because we can't see God. Prayer is so it's easier for us to worry than to pray. Worry has its dependence upon me. What can I do? Oh no, this is out of my control. And how are we gonna? And that's worry. But when we take that concern to the Lord and we say, Oh God, I'm concerned for this situation. I cannot handle it. I know that. But I know you can. And I know you love me. And I know that you can handle all things. I know that you do all things well and we can trust you. And you see, instead of filled with anxiety and distress, prayer immediately gives opportunity for God's grace to be bestowed in giving us peace. Because we're resting that in God. But it's easier to worry than to pray. It's far easier. We put our mind in idle and we worry. It's easier to work than to pray. How many times we want to just get to work. Let's do something. Let's make it happen. And work is important and there's a place for work. Obviously, work is a good thing in a right priority and all that. But sometimes it's easier, it's always, I would say, almost always easier to work than pray. To stop, to pause before the Lord, to stop doing and pray is difficult. So it's easier to worry than to pray. It's easier to work than to pray. And thirdly, it's easier to waste than to pray. To waste. You know, in our day and age, we have all the busyness of social media and online activity, YouTube and watch this and all these media outlets, all these noises, all these opportunities for conversation and communication and learning and knowledge and all that stuff. And it's a danger for us to just waste time than to pray. We can it's far easier to watch a 10 or 20 minute video than it is to spend 10 or 20 minutes in prayer. But what will make more difference? Obviously, we know the answer. Prayer is productive accomplishment. We need to take our worries to the Lord. We need to pray before we work. We need to not waste, but pray. So prayer is simple, but yet so vital. Simple, but yet so vital. Please notice a few more verses here in Matthew 9. Let's notice verse 35. And Jesus, we've looked at a couple different spots here, some different people Jesus healed according to their faith. The man with palsy and these blind men. And now we'll go to verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus was busy. Jesus was working. Jesus was caring. Jesus was helping. People were being healed. People were hearing the gospel. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, you see, in the midst of the work, in the midst of helping people, there was also an overwhelming aspect of the great needs still unmet. Notice verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. That's love. His heart was stirred with love on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He saw their needs, and their needs were great. They were enormous. Verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Jesus says there's so much to do. There's so many people to help. There's so many people who need to hear the message. But there's so few laborers. Imagine if we were standing out in a ripened wheat field, maybe out here on this 600 some acres just to the north. And we looked out here and we saw that beautiful ripened wheat field. And we were out there with just our bare hands and maybe a sickle, working by ourselves, trying to harvest the wheat. And maybe we worked a day and we worked another day, and it was like, wow, we cleared this area here. But look at the vastness of the rest of the field. How will we ever get it in before it's too late? Yes, grain ripens and it begins to overripen and it begins to fall on the ground and to waste. Or storms come, winds blow and knocks the seeds and they're wasted. You know, the same is true in this world with the gospel. People waste away, having not heard the message of Christ. People in Cuba, people in North Dakota, who live and die without knowing Jesus. In Romans chapter 10, God says, how shall they call on him and whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear unless someone goes and tells? The need is great in the work of God. But Jesus has the answer right here. Verse 37, he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Boy, there's a great need here, Jesus sees. And here's what he says to his disciples. He says, pray. Pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Did the Lord of the harvest not know about the need? Oh, yes, the Lord knew about the need. But Jesus believed that prayer would make the difference. He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You see, prayer is important. God's work doesn't happen without prayer. Jesus believed that prayer is what was needed to make the difference. Praying about the need would help to meet the need. Notice Matthew 7, verse 7. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You see, if we're not asking, it won't be given. If we aren't seeking, we won't find. If we aren't knocking, it won't be opened. God calls us to seek, to knock, to ask. And he says in verse 9, or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, or you guys being sinners, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them, that last two words, that ask him. Prayer is asking God. John R. Rice wrote that famous book, Prayer, Asking and Receiving. Asking and Receiving. We're talking about the simplicity and vitality of prayer. Prayer is personal communion. It's intimate. Something special between us and God. Prayer is practical communication, talking with God, listening to God. Prayer is productive accomplishment. Brings us face to face with a profitable exercise of dependence upon God. Yes, prayer is simple, but prayer is so vital. May God stir us to exercise faith in growing in communication and talking things over more with God. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the challenge in this vital area today. Lord, we know that we have much room for growth. The area of prayer, it's so simple that it's easy to overlook. Yet it's so vital that we cannot accomplish your work without it. Lord, help us to understand this. And help us to make use of the great opportunity and the vitality of this important thing. Lord, we thank you for this. We pray for your blessing on our fellowship time together now, also in the afternoon service. And in this week, help us to walk together with you and to be in good communication that we might see your will accomplished in our daily life. In Jesus' name, amen.